Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
To the Gastroenteritis Blues. My name is Steve Lippman. I am with Emily Cannell, Dan Volpone, and Luna Cannell. I am Luna's Emily's dog. Don't expect a guest. Happy to be back here on the podcast. I'm not asking a non sequitur question because we're actually going to be doing those as a segment on this podcast because nothing has happened with the Sixers. But one thing that we could talk about this week. First of all, how are you both? How's life going? Dan, you can start.
Yeah, life is okay. Okay is probably the best I could say because all I do is study. But hey, I watched football all day and that was wonderful. I love watching football. So today was a good day. Even the Eagles lost, that was kind of miserable, but yeah. Just football in general being on is so nice.
And Emily, how are you doing?
I'm good. I've had a busy weekend, but it's nice to have weekends back because I used to work all the time on the weekend.
Right.
So it is nice. I went to a football game yesterday, the game as I call it, Rutgers, Delaware.
I was going to say, was it Delaware? Yeah.
The big game that everyone is talking about. And yeah.
I will tell you, today was at an engagement brunch thing for a friend of Gab's and
I was excited. I thought you were going to tell us you got engaged.
That's not how I would tell you. Come on. I would get down on one knee and tell you. I met a girl at this thing that is an OT person. She does.
I thought
OT.
You were there with Gabby.
I was, but I went home with the other person. All right. Yeah. Here we go. Kyrie Irving is possibly available. We don't know. Stephen A. Smith, who is airtight on these types of things, said basically that he could be had for the right price and that he wasn't, or one of them wasn't, I should have done a little bit of research. One of them, he and Kevin Durant wasn't thrilled about going to Brooklyn specifically. Nick Wright last week reported that like, if Kyrie Irving is traded, he is just going to retire. Kyrie refuted that by tweeting, I think the like, doll gif or picture that Nerlens tweeted to Adele's boyfriend. What do you think about Kyrie Irving as a potential Ben Simmons trade? When, if you asked me this, I think 2 or 3 months ago, I did say that I'm terrified that if we did this, Kyrie would get here, it would not work out, and Ben would be like perfect at the things he's already good at in Brooklyn and they would win a title. But at this point, really, beggars can't be choosers, and Kyrie's really, really good, and that would be like a good situation if you get a star who's considerably better than Ben back in the Ben trade. Emily, what's your gut telling you about a potential Simmons-Kyrie Irving trade, however unlikely it may be?
Yeah, my gut is telling me that this is never going to happen and mm-hmm. that it's a bunch of baloney.
Great.
And yeah, but in theory, as much as like there's a lot of drama surrounding Kyrie and I would like to avoid drama for just a short period of time, if possible, as a fan of this organization, he's objectively and subjectively better than Ben. So like, yeah, I would take him because we live in a never ending cesspool of drama. So why not just add to it?
Dan, tell me your thoughts on Kyrie for Ben. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I basically agree with Emily in that I can't see this happening. I mean, why would Brooklyn do that?
No idea.
Like, you could say that, like, you know, Ben is providing some defense. They're not a great defensive team, but Ben is not like a carry the defense kind of guy. Ben is like a guard your man very well guy. He's not Giannis. He's not AD. He's not anchoring any defense, which isn't like.
Well, Ben, it's hard to anchor any defense from the perimeter at all.
Right. Like, I mean, yeah, he's a very good defender. Like, I don't mean this as an insult. It's just like he's not there. And the Nets defense, I think, was like for the second half of the season, basically league average. So I don't see why they should be really concerned about it. And, you know, with an extra year of these guys all together, if they can stay healthy through the season, they should feel like, you know, no one is beating us if we're healthy. Like, if that offense figures out a way to actually play off of each other with those three guys, like, why break that up? I mean, this is, if healthy, one of the best offenses ever assembled. So I, for that reason, I really don't see it happening. I mean,
it would have to be some sort of off the court thing. Like,
I think Kyrie would basically, Kyrie would have to one out. I think like Kyrie can opt out after the season. But I still don't see it happening because you're in win now mode. And you know, worst case scenario, you see this happen with teams where they lose a guy, but they ended up going to a team that's a contender and over the cap, and it becomes they get a trade exception if they're not over the cap, or it ends up being some kind of sign and trade, and you get something back for them. So like, who is killing for Ben right now? Like, why would they want to do that? However, if you're saying like, you know, Ben a couple firsts for Kyrie, I think that's one of the moves that you easily do. Like, even if it's Ben and some stuff and you're taking a risk on Kyrie opting out, like, the alternative is, you know, just hope for Dame, who might never ask out. Same with Beal, I think arguably is, you know, maybe the same level as Kyrie at this point. Kyrie was phenomenal last year, kind of overshadowed by how good everyone else on that team is. Kyrie had one of his best seasons I can remember. We've been talking about these, like, you know, step trades where you get some picks and some less exciting guys, which is still basically a hope for Dame scenario. And Dame is better than Kyrie. He's like definitely better than Kyrie, but Kyrie is easily a top 20 player and like not that close to 20, like probably closer to around 15. Like, right. Kyrie is very, very, very good. And if you can put a guy like that with Embiid, yeah, you do it. Like, that's the type of trade that makes me excited about this team again, that makes me believe that, you know, that we can win a title. I mean, you put Ben Simmons on that Nets team, you know, who knows? We've seen him collapse in the playoffs. We've seen Harden and Durant get hurt. Like if you can put Irving with Embiid and Irving can stay healthy, like, you have a legit case to make to, you know, not that they need to sell themselves to us, but you've made a legit case to me that you can win this year by making that trade. So I agree that I don't see it happening, but I would do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah. The other guy who has been talked about this week is considerably worse than Kyrie. John Wall and the Rockets, according to Shams, are agreeing that he's not going to play for the team this year. He's coming into training camp, I guess, to stay in shape and be around everybody. But they're going to work to find him a solution. John Wall has like $245 million years left on his contract. He played last year after missing like two full seasons. He was, I think, okay, not very good, not great, not terrible. Last year, I sort of find myself interested a little bit in him as a reclamation project guy after a buyout. But for me, like, to get to that salary, even if, like, I'd love to find a way to move Tobias for stuff that makes more sense if we can. Obviously, I want to trade Ben. I don't think that you can really – I think it's real negative value, even though he's going to be expiring next year. I don't – to me, even if I would like to give it a shot and think that maybe, like, a year removed from that injury, he can become something, you know, similar to himself in his prime – I wouldn't put many eggs in that basket. Dan, what do you think about John Wall, and would you have any interest in a trade that includes John Wall?
I wouldn't really. The contract is crazy. And the thing with, like, 1 year and then he's expiring. I mean, we can play this game with anyone, right? Like, right. We could say, Tobias is only 1 year away from being expiring. Like, I mean, we could do this forever. Like, you could always argue that no one has a bad contract because eventually there'll be an expiring and eventually someone will want them. No, I don't see him being bought out because I don't see why he would want to give up any of making $90 million over the next 2 years. I certainly would not give up making $90 million over the next 2 years to sit around and wait for my team to trade me. So, no, I don't see a buyout happening. If he were to be bought out, I would be interested. I think, like you said, a reclamation project. I think he's like not awful and at worst can, play some kind of role. We don't have, really true point guards on this team and haven't really ever. I don't know who was our last true point guard. Drew, maybe Andre Miller. I don't know.
Kendall Marshall.
Weird for. Yeah, right. This team's been weird for a long time. So I think John Wall would be useful. I just am not interested in him. And like, you've heard me make the case for a lot of different types of Ben packages. John Wall will not be someone I'm making a case for. I agree that like if you can get Harris off for the right piece, but I think that probably looks something more like, two guys making, $20 million and $15 million and and who can both, kind of be like really above average role players. Like, I don't see the benefit of having one fewer year left on that deal, but getting a substantially worse player. And making more money in those 2 years, by the way, for a team that is basically up against the apron and probably doesn't want to spend all that. I'm good on John Wall unless he's bought out, which I don't think will happen.
Yeah, people talk about the buyout like it probably won't happen now because he has $90 million left on his contract. But next year, when he has 45 left, maybe he'll be interested in a buyout. But it's like, what if he's like, no thanks, you don't have to play me, but I'd rather make $45 million this year than three or two. Emily, what do you think about John Wall?
Yeah, I agree with Dan. It's not a contract I would trade for, especially at his level. I kind of think at this point he might be like past his prime. I don't know that he's ever going to get back there with all the injuries and kind of also not playing for so long. Like it takes, as we've seen with many people on our team, it takes a while to build up to playing level endurance and being out for that long. Like, is he going to get back to there? I wouldn't take a buyout. He shouldn't take a buyout. So he should, no.
So in terms of Sixers stuff, this is going to come out on Sunday night. It is September 19th. The Sixers are going to open training camp on Monday, the 27th. So about a week from now. I don't know how that's possible. It feels like the offseason flew by, even though nothing really happened. And especially the giant thing we're all waiting for didn't happen. Emily, I ask you this. Are you excited for the Sixers to open training camp and for the Sixers to be back?
Yes and no. No, because I am sick of all of this Ben stuff and it's going to amp up. But yes, because I can't get enough of this Ben stuff and it's going to ramp up. Like, I'm just can't wait for like the day that the James Harden throws the basketball at like a ball boy happens and like it breaks the internet. I can't wait for that moment because I think it's just going to be hilarious, as long as no ball boys are hurt. So I'm excited for that, but also like I wish it was another team that was not my team. Like, I love when it happens to other people, but I don't really want it to happen to us, even though I know it's coming.
So. Yeah, you brought up a good point about that. But like, for me, I'm like not excited because he's still on the team. And it's such a weird feeling that one of the like most important players on the team, and certainly for the last 5 years, most important players on the team, wants to leave. The team's trying to trade him. He hasn't been traded yet. And like, we're all just waiting around. So like, that really ruins the excitement. I love Joel. I'm excited to see the young guys back. Like, Maxi, I think, is going to take a leap. Like, I would be really excited for all of those reasons. But I have renewed excitement because of what you brought up, which is that training camp can be an accelerant in this situation, you know, that like this situation, they all get back together. Ben's not there or he's there. And I think this will move more quickly, which Yaron said to you and I, that, you know, once training camp starts again, it can turn up the temperature on something like this. Dan, are you excited for the Philadelphia 76ers to be back?
Yeah, I mean, I think you guys said it, like, kind of. Certain parts I'm very excited for. I miss just watching basketball in general. I love the Sixers. I, you know, the guys you pointed out, Maxey and Bede, are definitely top of my list of guys I'm excited to see. It kind of has a last year feeling to it, which I think, which is not to say that to most people it's going to feel like last year. I think that for me, how I felt about the team last year and still feel now, a lot of people are now feeling this year. I don't think most people felt that way last year, but just the sense of, you know, I'm waiting for a trade to happen. I want this trade to happen. The trade is revolving around Ben. Will, you know, the team look like it looks right now as currently constructed? And should I get behind this team, or am I just kind of waiting for pieces to fall so I can see who's really here and I can really root for the actual team that we'll be taking through most of the season? Same thing for me, and that, you know, I think a lot of people don't see the Sixers as contenders right now. I didn't see them as contenders last. They had a shockingly good regular season. I think the playoffs was a basically really good demonstration of why I didn't see them as contenders last season. And so I feel like I'm in a similar spot. I hate this spot. I'm not excited about the idea that there's any chance of watching Ben on the Sixers again. I'm also not super excited about the idea of watching the Sixers without Ben, but without a trade being made, right? Like, that team, at least in the regular season, is
just minus Ben.
Worse.
Yeah.
Right. Is worse. And you're not getting the pieces that you're eventually going to be getting behind. And hopefully that will either make you a contender or put you in position to become a contender. So yeah, like, I'm excited for basketball. I love the Sixers, and I'll watch every game no matter what. I mean, I watched every game throughout the process. Like, I enjoy them. But I'm excited for basketball more than I'm excited for this team. I mean, more than anything, I'm like everyone else, just waiting on this trade.
Yeah. Here's the deal. We're going to take a break. After the break, two things are going to happen. One is we're going to talk about the Eagles. Two is that we at the Gastroenteritis Blues love you, and we have prepared non-basketball questions for each other that we're going to ask each other in a rotation of sorts after the break. So what a tease. We're going to a break. We're going to come back. We're going to get into that stuff. Here's a break.
There are a lot of questions around what you eat. How is it made? Where does it come from? What are the impacts of its packaging? The What You're Eating podcast is here to help you understand how your food gets to your plate and put into context the full impact of the food you eat, whether that's on animals, the planet, or other people. Join host Jerusha Klemperer, director of Foodprint, as she dives deeper to uncover the problems with the industrial food system and offer examples of more sustainable practices. She provides practical advice for how you can help support a better ecosystem through the food that you buy and the systemic changes you push for. From practical conversations with farmers and chefs to discussions with policy experts on the barriers to sustainability, the What You're Eating podcast covers more than just the what. It covers everything from the why to the how of the food you love to eat. Listen and subscribe to What You're Eating at foodprint.org/whatyoureeating or wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
All right, the Eagles lost today. you know, it's funny when you don't watch the game until the very end. I wasn't able to watch the game. I was at this thing, not a big deal. I came back like 10 minutes left and
No big deal to you.
I have a busy social calendar. 10 minutes left and I watched the game from there. They scored a touchdown, but weren't able to get a stop and hold it back. But from everything that I was reading and hearing, a bad game from Hurts, a bad game from Sirianni. The defense looks pretty legit, but heartbroken that Brandon Graham is out for the year. He's one of my favorite athletes ever. I just love him, and I'm upset that he's gone. But I'm sure that he'll come back and he'll be good again. But we'll definitely miss him this year. Emily, did you watch the game, and what are your takeaways from this loss to San Francisco?
So I also didn't watch the game. I was at a thing, and so I also couldn't watch. But I did listen to the fourth quarter in the car, and it was very funny because Merrill Reese was kept saying that he was disgusted with something like the way that they couldn't get the ball in the end zone on the one. He said he called Derek Barnett stupid for taking that.
He is some fucking dumb penalties.
Was it a personal foul or like one of those, like, you know, like roughing the passer type penalties? He was like, that is what we call stupid. And I was like, this man is a national treasure. So those were my favorite parts of the game. It seemed like it sucked, so I feel like I didn't miss much.
What about you, Dan?
Yeah, I watched the whole game. The execution was not great. I mean, we had a blocked field goal. We had fourth and goal kind of trick play that didn't work at all. That probably shouldn't have come to that. We had Rager make a mistake stepping out on the sidelines. It should have been a touchdown. So, you know, it was overall a frustrating game. Hurts looked so great week one. Looked atrocious today. Like, just like every throw was either underthrown or just like a duck. Like nothing zipped in where it needed to be, which has always kind of been my worry with him. And he looked so good last week. This week was obviously kind of back to that. Losing Brandon Graham is a big bummer. One thing that I really liked was, I don't know how many coaches would actually do this, but if you look at, like, statistically, the correct thing to do is when you're down 14 and then you score a touchdown towards the end of the game, you go for two. With the statistical, you know, reasoning being your chances of basically, you know, if you get the 2-point conversion, then you only need an extra point if you manage to score that game tying touchdown to win rather than go to overtime. Overtime is obviously basically 50-50 to win. Or if you don't get it, you can go for two next time and try to tie it to send it to overtime. And so your win percentage by going for two does go up.
That's interesting.
And I don't think that many coaches in the NFL would actually do that. And Nick Sirianni did. It's kind of our first look at how he handles situations like that. So I did think it was encouraging to see him do that. And it's kind of a little thing, but you see coaches kick the extra point there all the time. And it kind of drives me crazy because, you know, if you're making all that money, you should be able to know that that's what the numbers say to do. So I liked that. That's a really, really minor silver lining. But, you know, we always talked about that. And it was a bad loss. Like, they had a lot of chances. They didn't capitalize. But, you know, we had BLG on this pod, and, you know, he talked about this is basically the kind of year where we can both, you know, be retooling and be, you know, kind of in a transition, see what Hurts has, maybe he has it, maybe he doesn't, but at the same time compete for a division. So I'm, you know, it's not the type of year where I'm going to let this loss kind of, you know, ruin my day. I just think that, you know, that's the kind of year it's going to be, but, you know, you have to be fine with that. And I think that overall, I'm just happy there's football more than anything. I miss football, and I'm glad I got to watch the Eagles, no matter how painful this game was at certain points.
Just, you know, go beat Dallas on Monday night. Everybody will be very excited again. That'll be good stuff. Moving into much anticipated question and answer portion here. I am going to start. I'll ask one question, then we'll go around the horn over and over again. There's been a fly in my apartment for the last 3 hours, and now it's taunting me, flying around me while I'm at work, while I'm here working with you guys. And just know that I'm enduring that at this moment. All right, first question for me. First to answer this is going to be Emily and then Dan. If you could have unlimited anything, not money or life, what would you choose? Emily Cannell.
Okay, if I could have unlimited anything, what would I choose?
Yes.
Do I have to be able to like support anything? Like if I say boats, do I have to be able to like have enough money to maintain the boats?
No, you can
you can sell the boats and then have unlimited money from your unlimited boats.
Ooh, great question. But then you're in the boat selling market for your whole fucking life, which doesn't sound right. I think that you can, let's say that whatever you would have whatever infrastructure you need to live in that, and it's not going to like bankrupt you.
Okay. Then, I mean, the thing outside of like people and family and stuff like that, the thing I love most, I think, is dogs. So I would like to have unlimited dogs, and I could like have a farm with a lot, like just dogs running around living their best life. I could take in dogs that don't have homes. I could find dogs home. I could just have like a constant rotation of dogs in my life. I think that would be great. I'll go with dogs.
I love it. That's great.
I saw you swat at that fly too. That
I'm really, really trying to get it while I'm sitting here.
You should get Luna. Luna's really good at catching flies. She like snaps them out of the air. It's good.
Guys, it's right here on the table. It's right.
We're gonna hear it on the podcast.
Okay? Oh, get it out! Swat. All right. Dan, what would you take?
All right. I have a clarifying question as well. Is this like a material thing that I have unlimited of, or is this like a, can I have like an unlimited capacity to do something?
No, it can't be like unlimited enthusiasm. We're talking about something tangible here.
Well, I was going to say like, I would like to have like a limitless memory, which seems like it would make a lot of things easier.
What would you most like to remember? Are you thinking in terms of tests in school?
Yeah, I have an exam tomorrow, and that's really on my mind more than anything.
All right, you know what? I'll grant that.
Dan gets unlimited memory. Oh, I'm going to do great tomorrow then.
Yeah, exactly. Emily gets unlimited dogs. Emily, your first question, please.
Okay. My questions aren't that fun, and I think I might have asked you this one before. Well, this one isn't fun. This one is dark, great. And I might have asked it on the podcast before, but like, you're in the woods and you have like a Stand By Me situation and you come across a dead body. What do you do? Have we talked about this before?
I don't think so.
I asked this question to a lot of people and it's really weird. So I thought I might've asked you guys at some point.
Dan, you go first.
Wait, so I'm in the woods and I see a dead body?
Yeah. Like, do you...
I would like, leave the woods. Is that an option?
Yeah, it is an option.
I would run away. Yeah,
there you go. That's the question.
If someone else died there, it seems like I'm probably not in good shape here, so I should probably leave that spot.
That's a great answer.
So Emily, the other option here is to call the authorities to befriend it. What do we do?
Like, yeah, call the police, stay with the body until they come, like run away, then call the police, like text your mom, like what is the first thing that you would do?
I would not get the forensics out and start dusting the place. No, but I would probably stick around for a little bit and wait for the proper people to get there to remove this body. Unless, of course, it was stinky, because I don't like a stink, because I'll leave that. But assuming it's an odor-free corpse, I think that's what I would do.
The rest of my questions are not as dark. They're like more just like, what's your favorite this?
Your next question is like, what was the worst day of your life?
Tell me about your most humiliating moment.
All right, Dan, you're up.
Okay, so I actually have different questions for each of you because I think I misunderstood the game.
Great. Dan didn't understand the assignment.
I didn't. Oh, we're doing that TikTok? We're on TikTok? You're on TikTok. All right.
I was on TikTok for a long time last night.
Steve, all right. Let me ask a quick question to each of you then. All right. Yeah. So, Steve, my first question for you is, and we talked about this a little bit, but I would like to hear you say it for everyone. You're a very nice guy, and you look like a very nice guy, but you had a movie that came out this past year. You have another movie coming out now, and you always just play like a real awful dude. And why is that?
It's a great question. I think, one thing I think is that old Stevie Lipman isn't exactly first on the call sheet these days. So I'm not the protagonist of these stories. So it only leaves so much room for me to come in there. I think that part of it is like there's something with a sort of verbose or like fast talking shithead who's like being sort of mean but sort of funny and like spinning yarn in that sort of way that I think I can do reasonably okay. I don't really know what I'm doing, but I think I can be natural and I can be not nervous and I can relax. And I think that probably lends itself to like having, even if it's unsubstantiated, like higher status, you know? And in both of these movies, like my character eventually gets humbled, you know, usually me getting beat up is the way it happens. But yeah, that would be my answer. Emily, what about you?
Okay, so my first question for Emily is, can you tell me a little bit about occupational therapy? Mm. And I just mean like, what is your day to day like? And also, what are some fun things you do? I think we talked about you playing with like Play-Doh. That seems like fun. Could you tell me a little bit about that stuff?
Okay, sure. So occupational therapy helps people with their occupations. Mostly I work in a hospital, so it's like activities of daily living. It's a lot of self-care. Like if people have had a stroke or like a long illness and they're weak and they need help like figuring out a new way to get dressed because the way they used to do it doesn't really work for them anymore. Or like brushing their teeth or their balance is off. So I help with that kind of stuff. I also get to do fun like cooking stuff because that's an instrumental activity of daily living. Like if they live by themselves, they've got to know how to cook. So I get to do that. I work with adults, so we don't do as much of the like bear putty, but something I did do the other day that was fun was we played hockey. So I used a cane upside down and we worked on balance and we just like hit the ball back and forth like a hockey stick, and that was fun. And it was therapy. It was great.
Excellent. Good question, Dan. All right. My second question, starting with Dan, tell me about a time in your life that you laughed really, really hard.
Oh boy. That's a tough one. I don't know. I feel like I laugh a lot.
Mm-hmm. That's a good thing.
Yeah. Sometimes you make me laugh very hard. Like, when you said be safe and be great, that was killing me. The first time. Now it's just a thing. The first time you said it and then you hit end meeting and I had the text right away. I was like, what the hell did you just say?
So, and you didn't remember what you said.
I had no idea.
It was awesome. Really, really a great one. All right. That's mine.
Emily, what about you?
That's hard. I feel like most of the times I've laughed really hard, like the people that were involved wouldn't want me to tell the story. And I don't want to throw any of my friends under the bus. So Luna looks like she's gonna bark, just FYI. She has that like look in her eyes. But there was this one time in college where we were just sitting in our, this is like 10 years ago. So like she's like, this girl needs to laugh some more. But we were just sitting in our kitchen and we had an intruder and it seemed scary, but it was just like another drunk college student. And so we had to like try to have this reasonable conversation with this girl named Alyssa, who broke into our house essentially and was trying to tell us that she knew the people who lived here before us and tried to use our bathroom. And it was a whole thing. But now, like when we retell the story, we laugh really hard. But at the time, we were just like, what the fuck is going on? And it's one of those stories where you had to be there. But that was probably, that's a good one. Yeah,
that's great. I love that one. All right, who's next? What was the order? Emily's up.
Me, yeah. Emily's up. So I want to know, outside of sports podcasts, what are your favorite podcasts? Dan?
Yeah, I can start. Well, we had, I'm not, this might not play well in the audience. I'm really not a big podcast guy. So besides sports podcasts, I sometimes listen to more like political based podcasts. So I listen, we had Peter from 5 to 4 on. Listened to his podcast a good bit. They're interesting. If you go back and listen to that episode, but basically they talk about like Supreme Court rulings that they hate and tie it to like life, I think is cool. And then really the only other one I listen to that isn't sports based is Chapo Trap House, which is also political, and they're like Bernie people. But I haven't listened to that. So I haven't really listened to many podcasts since I started school. So, but yeah, that's really it.
I will listen to lots of them might be like guest dependent, you know, like if the guest on is like interview based, like Mark Maron's podcast, WTF. Comedy Bang Bang is a really funny podcast where they improvise on it. What else do I listen to here? A lot of them are, I'll tell you one, Talking Sopranos. I love The Sopranos and always did growing up. And now they're going through every episode. Two of the stars of the show are going through every episode and interviewing people from the show. And those are always fun to listen to for me.
That seems to be like the new trend in podcasts now. Like people who were on the show re-go through the show.
Yep. They go, we did the show 20 years ago and we'd like more money now. So we're doing the show. Yep. It's genius. God bless them. Dan, question 2.
So I'll start with my Emily question this time, because again, I have a separate set of questions for everyone. Emily, what is the best part about having season tickets that us non-season ticket havers would not expect to be the best part of having season?
Great question.
I think the best, maybe this isn't like a people would expect this, but I think the best part is like never having to make a decision like should we get tickets to the game. Like we just always have the tickets to the game, and I guess you still have to make the decision of like should you go or sell them, but it's still not like I feel like it's a bigger decision like should we buy them, but they're already bought. So I think that's really nice. Outside of that, like that's really it. Like I've got to meet a couple players through it, but I have a picture with Ben Simmons and his eyes are closed. Like, cool. That's where I got my Roko picture though. And that's one of my most prized possessions. Yeah. So, but yeah, that was a boring answer, but it's true.
All right, Steve, not going to lie. This might be a bit of a stupid question. However, sticking with the movie theme here, because I've been thinking about the new movie coming out.
Is Dan your PR person?
He should be.
Have you hired him?
He really should
Steve,
be.
Steve paid me to say all this.
Yeah, exactly. I set up this whole segment.
Yeah. So I think, you know, we all know that pretty soon, you know, you're going to be a little bit big time for this podcast.
Of course. Yes.
Of course. So once you are famous, what famous person thing will you really want to do? Like, you want to start cutting lines? Like, what's going to be your thing?
No, I want to do the thing where I lose a lot of money by giving it to my friends. I definitely would.
Oh, this is great for us.
Exactly. I have dreamed of that always, of just being able, first of all, just like have money from that shit is like, that's the whole goal, you know? So to be in a position where I can do that and also enjoy that sort of life that could come with it, which obviously is not the point, but which happens to a very small percentage of people, to be able to like disseminate it to my friends and then have to do like commercials in Germany to make money again would be great. That is what I think I would fall into. Final questions. We're in round three of three. I don't love this last question, but it's all I could come up with. All right. Starting with Dan, I think. Dan, your last meal. You can have it from anywhere, anytime, any place, but it has to be a breakfast food. What would you have them cook for you?
Well, I love breakfast food, so that sounds perfect. Great. So perfect. You want like a general food or like food from a specific place?
Either or.
You know, I don't know where exactly I would get it from, but I think that my last, this is tough. I mean, I don't know if I would want my last meal to be my go-to or something that I really like also, but don't usually get. Like, for example, like if you know like Nudies in Phoenixville, right? Yep. They're pancakes with like their cinnamon bun pancakes. Those are delicious. You know what I mean? Whoa. But that's not really a go-to for me. I'm more of a breakfast sandwich go-to kind of guy. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, like I would get that. I get breakfast sandwich anywhere. So I don't know where I would want my last breakfast sandwich from. And like, what do I want? Do I want bacon? Do I want pork roll? Definitely want egg and cheese on a bagel. But like, I guess I would have to go breakfast sandwich. Mm-hmm. But I don't know where I would get it from, because I think, you know, there's a place near my house that used to be very good, that was owned by a friend that closed. And I used to go there a lot. I have to think about that for where I'd want it from, but I'd probably get a bacon, egg and cheese, or if it's the right place, a pork roll, egg and cheese.
Emily?
I think I would have to go like a chicken and waffle situation. Ooh. But I don't want my chicken to have bones in it, because I really hate when they give you like the full chicken breast and you can't just like cut into it and stab the chicken and the waffle. You got to like pick it. I don't like that. So it has to be a boneless fried chicken and waffle with like a good, like, maybe like a whiskey maple syrup, like a maple syrup with like a little bit of something. That would be great. That's what I would want.
I just couldn't identify more with your boneless thing. It was great. Your turn. You're up.
Okay. If you could design the perfect dog, what is it and what is its name?
Ooh. Wow.
So Steve, this one is you first.
I think about dogs all the time. We would love to get one. My parents have one. You know, I think that the fur would be of a, maybe of a shepherd or collie or something, even though it's a lot of shedding. But you said in this, I'm a billionaire too. So, okay.
Sure.
I added that part.
I did not hear that.
All right. So I think that, I think about dog names a lot. You know, lots of dogs are named like Murphy or Tuck. I do like when a dog has like a human name. Like if a dog's name is Fred, I think it's funny. I've never had, we've had three dogs and we've never had a male dog. I don't even know what that's like. I could do without the humping. I've been around a few and I know I'm good looking, but like it's a bit much. I will say that the dog would be a mid-sized shepherd sort of, and their name would be Daisy. Thank you.
Hmm.
Dan?
Hmm. All right. Well, let me start by just being a better guy than Steve here and saying that this would have to be a rescue dog.
That's what I meant.
Let's see. I'm not looking for like a specific breed. Like I don't really like a mutt is cool. It can be a breed. That's fine. Like any rescue dog is fine, but I prefer like a dog that is not gonna like have like a 7-year lifespan and like major health issues because like people mess it up so bad by breeding it. I'd like a 15-year friend. It's gonna have to be, you know, a nice dog. I prefer like kind of a big dog, not too big, but like big, you know. Our dog right now plays fetch. I really enjoy that. I'd like a dog that plays fetch. No shedding. Did I say that? I prefer no, like not a lot of shedding. And for a name, so when we got a pandemic dog, but we're not one of the people who returned our pandemic dog. We just are old. We still have this dog. Our other dog had died like half a year earlier. My mom had really been wanting a new dog, so we got Bella, and so Bella was my parents' name of choice. Which, hey, very nice name.
My parents name had of a choice dog was, named Bella as well, by the way.
My name of choice. I was asked. I weighed in. I said we should name the dog Matisse. I think Maxie could be a good name for a dog. Just really the cutest Sixers. I think would be great names for a dog. So I think either of those could work out. Bella's, we kind of compromised in that, like, I don't think anyone's dog has a middle name except ours because Matisse is our dog's middle name. So no one knows that except me. I think that was just to make me feel better about it. So, but sometimes like with my mom, like when I was little, when my mom was mad at me, she'd be like, Daniel James, because my middle name is James. So if like, if the dog like pees or something in the house, she'd be like, Bella Matisse, just like that. So that's the only time Matisse actually comes out. I'm not sure it's even really her name, but I really enjoy hearing that. So I think that could be a good dog name.
That's great. That was a much better answer than I gave. Wow, Jesus.
But all right, my last question for each of you, I guess I start with Steve for this one. All right. Can we, if you ever get the chance, can you, and I'm looking for a commitment here, work Be Safe and Be Great into some kind of like script, whether that's like movie, commercial, anything that you do that might be on a screen, I would like to hear Be Safe and Be Great in that. Is that a possibility?
Definitely a possibility. I've been lucky enough a lot of times when I've worked, I have been able to improvise and ad-lib stuff. So for me, it would not be that strange. For somebody who actually knew how to act, it would probably be weird, but I say random shit a lot. So yes, I think that my pledge to you is that I will say Be Safe and Be Great in something that is filmed professionally at some point this month. Emily.
This month. that's great news. Emily, I know the rest of the questions were mostly not Sixers-y, although I did have a Sixers-y question for you. This is an explicitly Sixers-y question for you.
Okay.
I want to know the exact point that was your breaking point on Ben Simmons. I know that you were in on Ben for a while. I think that, you know, Steve and I kind of had a gradual, like, I know, like, by like, early last season, we were like, cannot stand this guy, want him gone. And like, that wasn't something we were saying regularly on here. But I know that like in the text between all of us, we were like, and I think that a lot of people had like their breaking points with Ben throughout this season. I mean, we just happened to have it a bit earlier, but you know, there were a lot of moments, I think for a lot of people, it was the reaction to the series. For a lot of people, it might have been more recently with the, you know, not saying he's not going to show up. It might have been the pass for some people. It might have been the game 5 collapse where he did nothing. I think that there, for a lot of people, it's a lot of different things. And I know that you are very ready for Ben to be gone. So I'm just wanted to know, what was your moment? If you had to pick one moment.
Yeah, I can answer that. I think the moment was the how many points did Trey have press conference?
Wow.
That's a good one. Yeah.
It was a clear lack of the mentality that I like in my players that I support. I hated it so much. And yeah. I was like, yeah. This is not our guy. This is not our guy.
I will say this. We all went to game five together. And Steve, you brought up when we've laughed very hard. Emily, after game five, made me laugh so hard. And like, I was miserable. Don't get me wrong. But Emily was like so pissed at the corgi and the kid's girlfriend.
Yeah.
The kid's girlfriend who was undefeated. And she was so mad. And we walked out of the stadium. She goes, that corgi's a fraud. Like, what's his face? His girlfriend is a fraud. Like,
yeah.
I was laughing so hard.
I forgot about that.
That was great. I do remember that. Wow. That was great. All right. Well, this was fun. Maybe this will be a regular segment here on the podcast when we don't have shit to talk about.
Yeah. If any listeners have questions for us too, tweet them at us. It'll be great.
Let us know. All right.
Give us 5 stars on all the apps.
Yes. Throw us a rating, subscribe, review thing. We are, again, you can be listening to this on the Liberty Ballers feed or on our Gastro Blues feed. We ask you to go over there. We apologize for no midweek pod this week. As we mentioned, Zoe is coming on the podcast, but he was unable to during the middle of last week. So we'll have him on hopefully sometime this week. But we will regardless definitely record at some point this week. The movie we've talked about too much already is called This is the Night. It's out in New York. If you're in New York, it's at the Angelica in the Village East. And it'll be out on like Amazon and Apple and Universal Pictures and all that.
I have a question about the movie. Can I ask
yes.
it?
Yes, you may.
I read in an article on Entertainment Weekly that Method Man is in this movie. Is
yes.
that true? Did you
He is
meet
in this
him?
Movie. I worked with him and I love him.
Oh my God. Can Method Man come on by?
Well, that's cool. Yeah.
He's great. I really, really enjoyed screwing around with him, and we worked together for a few days on the movie, and he's a lot of fun. So yeah,
maybe our Wednesday podcast can be me cool. and Dan reviewing your movie that we watch at Video on Demand.
Guess who's not going to be in that one? Me. You guys talk
when
to
is
each
it?
Other. I won't listen.
When did you say?
I believe Tuesday, sometime Tuesday,
oh, cool.
the movie comes out.
And where can we watch it?
You can buy it or rent it on demand wherever, and also Apple and Amazon and stuff like that. It will be on a streaming service this winter, which they'll announce all that.
But, very exciting.
Ooh, then I'm going to tell all my friends to watch it.
There you go. Thank you very much. That's it. We'll talk to you this week. We love you. It's good to see you both. Be safe. Be great. Great.
Bye.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.